In the matter of James Hartnett of Pensauken, may we please have appearances of counsel?
Good afternoon, Your Honors. Mark Colbranson, Attorney's Department, on behalf of James Hartnett.
Good afternoon, may I please the court? Michael DePiro, Brown Connery, and the Director of Pensauken.
Good afternoon, Deputy Attorney General Levi Christensen, on behalf of the Civil Service Commission.
Counsel, thank you for your patience. And if I need to step out, I will participate in the case and watch the arguments. Mr. Colbranson, please.
Good afternoon again, Your Honors. The issue here is, briefly stated, whether a township has the unilateral authority to recharacterize an unambiguous retirement notice as a resignation. I just want to highlight a couple of facts here, just to frame up the argument. Captain Hartman notified his chief of his intent to retire on April 14th, 2021, and it was to be effective as of April 30th. He did so impulsively. He was under tremendous strain and stress from workplace harassment. And because he had done so impulsively, he had a few hours to think about it. And the very next day, he notified his chief of his intent to rescind his retirement notice. That was very much to his chief's relief, because apparently he was the only captain at that time in the department, and he had had a lot of responsibilities that could not easily be foisted off on somebody else. After taking a few days of vacation, which he had accrued and to which he was entitled, he went back to work on April 19th. And despite acknowledging his rescission on April 19th, the township subsequently notified Captain Hartnett that his request to rescind his, what they termed his resignation, not his retirement, was denied. That happened on April 26th. So he'd already been back to work. Never mind.
Did he get his gun and badge back?
I'm sorry?
Did he get his gun and badge back?
He did. He had been working continuously from April 19th with the understandable impression that his employment was uninterrupted.
Counsel, we're familiar with the facts of the case. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us where the trial court and the appellate division went wrong?
So I'll start with the appellate division, if I may. They affirmed the commission relying primarily on Clowitter. I'm certain I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, but there are a couple of problems with, there are three problems, three main issues that we have with the appellate division's analysis. The first is the panel stated that Captain Hartnett's actions were consistent with resignation, and thus he was subject to the conditional reemployment rights under NJAC 4A:2-6.1. All Captain Hartnett did here was submit and then almost immediately rescind a notice of intent to retire. He didn't resign. There was no interruption in his employment. All he did was, after that, take a few days of vacation, again, which he had accrued and to which he was entitled. So that was not an interruption of his employment. At most, this indicates exactly what Captain Hartnett said it was. He submitted a notice of his intent to retire some weeks in the future.
Along with a statement that he had intended to resign effective the next day.
There was no statement that he intended to resign. He intended to take his accrued vacation time from April 15th through the date of his proposed retirement date.
He was no longer coming into work.
He would no longer be coming into work. That's correct. But again,
he was no longer coming into work, and 2 weeks into the future would never come in.
That's correct. Yes.
So purposes, he was handing in his badge, his weapon, everything that would be necessary to do his job, submitting a retirement application with the Division of Pension and Benefits, and was done
at the moment
that he sent that correspondence, regardless of the terminology that was used.
That's right. And again, we're dealing with a period of maybe 12 hours. And so in terms of sending the notice and then rescinding it, you're talking about 11 o'clock at night when he sends the email stating his intent to retire. And somewhere in the afternoon, the very next day, saying that was a mistake.
But that was,
I don't want to do that.
And tell us the context of that, because that's the discussion that he had with another officer. There wasn't a formal letter. There wasn't a formal email. It was simply a conversation.
That was a verbal conversation he had with the Chief Nettleton. Chief Nettleton then advised that he sent a formal email.
That email didn't come out until the 19th.
Forgive me, Your Honor. I thought that there had been an email prior to that, April 15th, actually. But
that was the day that he surrendered, and then he mentioned it to the sergeant that he was going to cancel his retirement application.
That's correct. To the chief, Chief Nettleton.
The record, unless I'm mistaken, but it suggested that he spoke to a sergeant and had the conversation that he was considering canceling his retirement application.
That's correct. He was considering canceling his retirement application. And then he contacted his chief.
On the 19th.
Oh, no, on the 15th.
On the 15th, I'm sorry, didn't he send an email to the acting municipal administrator, Joseph V. Palumbo, requesting a meeting and specifically saying that he thought it might be, quote, beneficial for me to delay my retirement to a day to be determined in the future?
Yes, he did. So that was actually something that he had done in response to Chief Nelson suggesting that he send an email to Mr. Palumbo.
But that was April 15th.
That was on April 15th.
That's correct. And then the email that he actually sent was the 19th.
The email that he ultimately ended up sending was April 19th, the date that he returned to work.
Regardless of all of those steps, isn't the employer entitled to rely on that original impression that the email creates, which is last day is on April 30th, retirement commences that day, and that's essentially what they held him to. Aren't they entitled to that?
So yes and no, Your Honor. First, again, when we're dealing with their right to reemployment, there has to be a separation from employment. He hasn't yet separated from employment. So 4A:2-6.1 doesn't apply. It deals with conditional reemployment rights for employees who resign. So putting aside the distinction between resignations and retirements for just a minute, there's no reemployment here. The only regulation that seems to apply to this particular situation where there wasn't an interruption in employment was...
But there was an interruption.
If somebody walks into their boss's office and says, I'm quitting in 2 weeks, I'm gone, I'll give you the 2 weeks I'm supposed to give you, and then I'm not coming back. If they don't get to the full 2 weeks, it's not considered a resignation?
Well, in this particular instance, it certainly shouldn't be considered a resignation because it was framed out as a retirement. And there are distinctions both in the civil service code as well as the PFRS regulations between different types of separation employment, obviously.
You retire without resigning?
I'm sorry, what was that?
And you retire without resigning? Doesn't it encompass resigning?
You cannot retire unless you cannot submit a retirement application until you have separated from your employment. This is why...
Meaning resigning.
Meaning resigning or whatever method in good standing such that your pension will still apply.
So why doesn't the regulation 4A:2-6.1 apply? Section C says a request to rescind the resignation may be consented to by the appointing authority. There's discretion on the part of the appointing authority whether to accept it or not.
I think that the problem there, Your Honor, is that now we're just mashing together the concepts of resigning and retirement, understanding that they do overlap. You would still need the separation of employment if he announced that he was resigning.
No, it actually says, and I left out a word, I'm glad you asked, Section C, a request to rescind resignation prior to its effective date, so that there's no separation there.
Right, Your Honor, yes.
Why doesn't that provision apply?
Well, and there, Your Honor, I would just point to the regulation under the PFRS that allows for cancellation of a retirement application.
So PFRS deals with the operation of the pension fund.
Right.
This is a Civil Service Commission regulation, and that deals with the relationships between employee and employer. Shouldn't we be looking at the CSC regulations for the answer to this case here?
The problem, Your Honor, with that is that the CSC regulations don't address the situation that we have here where there wasn't, and I understand Your Honor's point about separation from employment, but we've maintained that taking accrued vacation time that you're entitled to isn't a separation from employment.
But you can go, but an officer can go on vacation, but not hand in their service weapon, their badge, clean out their office, which is exactly what he did here.
And announce their retirement.
Right.
And that would be our argument is simply that, Your Honors, our argument is that all of those actions are consistent with somebody who is intending to retire, right? So upon submitting that notice and then immediately rescinding it, the vacation time that he spent between April 15th and April 19th when he went back to work, which incidentally was when the township was informed, they seemed perfectly fine with it at that point.
And he also received his gun and badge, went back to his desk, and was working as a police officer.
Exactly right, Your Honor.
As of that moment, he was no longer separated from employment.
Right, and I would...
Is there a difference? My understanding is anybody can resign, and not everybody can retire. There are certain qualifications you have to meet, and you have to be in active employment status at the time of your retirement to retire. But not every... And you have to qualify the term of employment, whatever. Anybody can resign, not everybody can retire. So there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, that's what we're focusing on here is what we've focused on here is the difference between the two.
And isn't the difference between the two with retirement, as is discussed in the Division of Pension and Benefits regulations, retirement has to do with applying for benefits, obtaining benefits.
That's right.
Obtaining funds because you meet certain qualifications, you've been in your position for a certain amount of time. So the term retirement, if we substituted it with apply for pension benefits, that kind of means the same thing. Those regulations discuss what will be paid, how the payments will be made in various different circumstances. Those regulations have nothing to do with the manner in which, or the word used for the separation from employment. Separation from employment has to happen in order for someone to apply for retirement benefits, correct?
That's correct.
But whether it happens and the employee tells their office that they're resigning or retiring or quitting, I don't think Division of Pension and Benefits cares what terminology is used. The application for retirement is an application to obtain benefits that go along with that retirement if the person meets all of those qualifications.
That's right, Your Honor. I completely agree with those points. I think that the issue that we're, again, sort of honing in on here is we're looking to the PFRS regulations for guidance. We acknowledge that's not a controlling authority here. It's just the issue with regard to his declaration that he was going to be retiring as opposed to resigning indicated that he was going to be seeking retirement benefits at a certain point. That's, take that at its face value, you'd have some questions. Okay, does that mean you're also resigning? None of this, that conversation never happens. And it doesn't happen because within 12 hours, he withdraws it. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. That was a mistake. I'm not doing any of this. And again, it was under in the context here where he's doing this under extreme stress. He's not making a whole lot of sense either as part of the problem.
So you're making a number of equitable arguments that have surface appeal to be sure. Let's look at the regulations and tell us what entitles him to be reemployed by the same employer. The CSC regs say he can ask to rescind the retirement request and it may or may not be granted. He can ask to be considered for reemployment, which may or may not be, the end game may or may not be that he's on the reemployment list. Where does it say he gets to keep his same job?
I'm sorry. Were you just to hone in a little bit, were you referring to the commission regulations 4A colon 4-710? That's the one discussed in Clowater?
10A.
10A, thank you. The employee retires may request reconsideration for reemployment. I think the discussion in Clowater also helps to sort of elucidate that a little bit. Again, this deals with reemployment when there's some break between the submission of the notice and employment. Right. So like he never stops working for the township. It never happens. And
are you arguing that he's not a person who retired? It says a permanent employee who has resigned in good standing, received a general resignation, retired or voluntarily demoted may request blah, 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 blah. You're arguing that doesn't apply to your client at all because he never retired. Instead, he submitted his intent to apply for retirement benefits and then withdrew it. He never actually retired.
That's correct, Your Honor. In effect, he never retired. There was no separation from employment. So these regulations under the Civil Service Commission that apply to reemployment rights don't apply here because we're not talking about reemployment. We're talking about maintenance of employment. To your honor.
And how do we know he hasn't resigned in good standing the moment he sought retirement?
The short answer, Your Honor, is I believe the regulations are silent on that. And that's just sort of to your question, Chief Justice, is I don't see anything in the regulations that addresses a situation where the employee who submits a notice for retirement prior to that retirement becoming effective withdraws it.
So you think you can put in, indicate that you're going to be retiring 30 days from now, and then the day before say, I'm keeping my job?
The short answer to that question is no, Your Honor. I think that there are a number of equitable arguments that might apply in that situation where the township, the concerns that were raised in Clowater, for example, about the administration of the police department and making sure that they've got proper staffing, all that comes into play when you've got such a delay. Again, in this particular situation where there's only 12 hours, there's those considerations are non-existent. I mean, he submitted the notice. He withdraws it. Very much to his chief's relief. And there's no opportunity to even have a conversation. But it's like, what was that all about? It was a mistake. Was his response? I didn't want to do it.
And as a matter of regulation, at least, you can rescind a retirement at any time before you begin to receive payment, I think it is.
Or... Before payment becomes effective, yes.
As far as the employer is concerned, once they receive notice that you have selected a final day that you will be working, where is the authority for that to be rescinded? Separate and apart from the retirement benefits that come later.
Again, Your Honor, I don't see within the regulations a place where that authority applies, because again, there's we're dealing with reinstatement rights and reemployment rights. So I don't see an affirmative right to withdraw it. It just it hasn't become effective yet.
Your argument is he never left his
employment. He never left his employment. That is our entire argument.
So he did eventually have to leave his employment after April 30th, right? Where they told him
you cannot come back here anymore. Prior to being forced to resign, he had on April 30th, he had not left his employment. So I appreciate the correction.
So in submitting the application for retirement to pension and benefits, there is a notice that states, I understand that changing or canceling my retirement date does not, in red, guarantee continued employment with my employer. What do you think that means?
I think in that particular situation, like again, it goes to the Chief Justice's point about if you wait up to the last day
but it doesn't
to
say
rescind
that.
It, right? And I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No, it's fine.
We'll talk over you.
Yep, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
Yeah, the township should be able to act in reliance on your actions, but in this case, the actions here don't amount to resignation, let alone retirement.
Again, so this advisory states that there's no guarantee that you can continue your employment even if you change your retirement. So it's two different things, right?
Sure.
And we've already discussed that. Retirement for these purposes has to do with an employee filling out an application in order to obtain retirement benefits. That's what this application has to do with the term retirement.
And
entitling someone to return to employment, again, I don't know where I don't know where that right is when the appointing authority has the discretion to accept that if someone rescinds their resignation or rescinds quitting or whatever you want to call it. I don't see anything in the statutes or the regulations that says, well, if it's under 15 hours, then they absolutely should be allowed to go back to work. Or if it's under 24 hours or 36 hours or 48 hours, it doesn't say that. And again, I know you're making the argument that there was no interruption, but you have someone who did hand in their service weapon and clean out their office and leave. I understand that shortly thereafter, a change of mind occurred, but I'm not seeing how
briefly,
an effective rule to impose to state that in this situation, because it was 12 hours or 15 hours,
because the civil service regulations relate to re-employment rights and there was no interruption in employment, these wouldn't apply. In other words, the authority under which the township has to accept or reject the rescission of a retirement application wouldn't apply, because again, this doesn't have to do with, a resignation. Wouldn't apply here because there was no interruption.
A lot of public employees will stop working on a particular date, but their last date of work will be at some point in the future because of the vacation days, similar to what was happening here. So in all of those cases, there's no separation from employment?
Not until the last day, for sure. I mean, it would be the same as saying, because they're taking accrued and earned vacation time.
So in all those circumstances, you're saying the public agency should be required to accept the rescinding of someone's retirement application to Division of Pension Benefits and accept them as an employee back at work.
Absent circumstances that one could imagine that aren't here, I could see a situation where somebody waits until the last minute, causing all sorts of problems when there's a need to fill a particular position. But again, that situation that's not the situation we have here.
Isn't the rule you're advancing contrary to what 6.1C says? We've already touched on it.
Mm-hmm. That it has to be consented by the appointing authority.
The The reason why we believe that it is not inconsistent with that role is because that deals with reemployment rights. And again, I keep bringing it back to that same point, but because there was no interruption in employment and
it deals with resignation.
But yes, that's 2-6.1C. It provides for conditional reinstatement rights for employees who resign.
It reads a request to rescind the resignation
mm-hmm.
prior to its effective date may be consented to by the appointing authority. Under your construct, that would not come into play in most cases because you haven't resigned. If I'm understanding you correctly, even when you've said I'm going to resign and it's going to be effective 14 days from now.
Yeah, I think there, Your Honor, the problem, of course, is that again, retirement and resignations are two different things. Some employees may be aware of it to a certain point and not understand the overlap.
Assume the word resign was used. Mm-hmm. And I know you dispute that this was a pure resignation, but assume someone says I'm resigning
mm-hmm.
and my last day is going to be 15 days from now. Can they come back if they haven't left the office of their own free will? Or do they have to abide by the regulation and ask if they can be allowed back and get consent from their employer?
It's our position that in this particular instance, when you're asking for consent from your employer, you may have to go back and if you've resigned, you may have to go back and get consent from your from the appointing authority.
So this case may then turn on whether he actually resigned.
Yes.
Not using the word, but in speaking about his retirement and his last day and turning in his gun and so on.
Whether his actions were analogous with retirement or resignation as well as retirement. It's our position that given...
In the acknowledgement of terms and conditions of retirement, and Justice Pierre-Louis cited to the fourth provision, but there's one above it that says, I understand that if I cancel or change my retirement date and submit a new application with a later retirement date, it is my responsibility to notify my employer to ensure that any active health benefits are not canceled and that my employment remains uninterrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Is it your argument that his employment was never interrupted, there was no resignation, and therefore he is entitled to be reinstated?
That's exactly right, Your Honor. It
comes back to retirement is different than resignation.
Precisely.
You express the intent to no longer to resign,
mm-hmm.
that's one thing. But you're saying in this case, the facts are inconsistent with resignation.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Do you rely in any way on the fact that the borough, as evidence that he did not resign, gave him his gun, his badge, and put him back to work?
It's a point we've made, I believe, in our briefing before the appellate division. I don't think there was a briefing on the merits before this court. But yes, the short answer to your question, Your Honor, is yes. The township acted in all ways as though he were an employee from April 19th to April 26th. It's a little bit inexplicable as to why what changed between then suggests that they would not suddenly turn around and say, we don't want you any longer.
Who ultimately made that decision in terms of the final date? Because it seemed to me as though there was his chief who may have been the one to give him his gun and his badge back. And then there was the township that was making separate determination overall. So is that part of what happened here?
Well, that's part of it. The other part of it, of course, is that Captain Harnett sent an email to I believe it was the township director who informing him of his intent to rescind the application.
Did the township ever, is there anything in the record that the township had allowed him back to work and was agreeing to his continued employment until at least the 30th?
Certainly their acquiescence. I mean, the lack of response from the 19th to 26th, again, remains unexplained. There's nothing in the record to explain what the turnaround was at that point.
There's nothing.
But they didn't actually express come back to work.
No,
he just did it. Yeah, it was the cooperation of.
Who's the appointing authority? Is the chief the appointing authority in this instance? Or is the borough?
I believe the borough is the appointing authority.
So what? But the public, I'm sorry, the borough did know that he was physically back at work, right?
Yes, they were aware. At least as of April 19th, but it's our condition, they were aware at least before then, April 15th.
So what actions are consistent with retirement?
So retirement.
Separate and apart from submitting an application for retirement benefits, with division and pension and benefits, what would be consistent with retirement that is not the same as quitting or resigning or whatever you might call it?
Teeing up everything that you need to prepare and submit a retirement application to PFRS.
Again, separate and aside from the money, the benefits, the pay, what practically is your definition of retiring in the interaction between an employee and their employer? Because for the most part, the employer has nothing to do with that application except for certifying, yes, this person's separated from employment. What actions does someone do when they retire? And how is that different from the actions of an employee who's resigning or quitting or some other word?
We concede that there the overlap between the actions for, as a practical matter, for retirement and resignation are essentially the same. That, I mean, handing your gun to your badge, et cetera, saying that I'm out, so long, everyone. That would be
the same whether you're resigning or retiring.
Yes.
So is the only difference here the filling out of the form online and submitting the application for retirement?
Right. For purposes of distinguishing between the two, but also...
And his notification, right?
That and the notification.
All of his notifications, he didn't say, I wanted to inform you that I'm resigning. He said, I wanted to inform you that I'm applying to retire.
Exactly right. So in other words, there was an expression of intent here, right? An unambiguous expression of intent to retire as opposed to resign. So it's not something that we have to sort of parse through the facts to determine whether there was a difference. Although those same facts could amount, and this is the same point that we've made, those same facts could amount to a resignation. But in this particular instance, it was very clear that he was attempting to retire. So, and again, unwisely.
So if we have an employee who begins working at a police department, is only there for a few years, does not qualify for pension or any benefits, so there's no application for retirement to submit, but is, you know, second, third career, and tells their employer, I am retiring. I'm no longer working. Is that not a retirement because that person is not submitting an application for retirement benefits?
I think it might beg the question. I'm sorry, what is it that you're trying to do?
The term retirement is being used in a variety of ways. But in a discussion we had earlier, I think you agreed that the way the term retirement is used for purposes of submitting your application for retirement really has to do with the ability to obtain benefits and be in a certain pay status given an employee's time in service, given, you know, a variety of things that come together to allow Division of Pension and Benefits to make certain payments to an employee who is in a particular status. So that when the word retirement is being used in those regulations, it's all about how payment is made, how that occurs. There's nothing with regard to, again, what happens practically in the leaving the employment.
I might also point, Your Honor, what that also indicates is an understanding, or in that case, a misunderstanding of that employee's rights upon separation from employment. Like part of the reason they may want to resign is because they believe they have a retirement application, a package waiting for them. That could be mistaken, right? So part of it is certain assumptions on the part of the employee.
And someone could resign or stop working for their entity, but not fill out a retirement application.
Right.
For a variety of reasons,
because they're
going to work for another public and state entity, and therefore can't obtain their pension benefits right away. Right. So it just seems as though the term retirement is being used as a term of art, meaning the employee was retiring, therefore that meant not leaving service, but really meant leaving service and getting benefits. But once he rescinded the application to get the retirement benefits, that meant he also was entitled to return to work.
So rescinding his application for retirement in this particular instance was an indication that I didn't understand what was going on. By Captain Hartnett. And again, within the 12 hours with no interruption of employment, it's hard to understand why that having no break in employment, we would even have a concern about re-employment rights.
You say no break in employment. Is it fair to say for at least the 15th, when his service weapon and his badge were submitted, returned in, for at least that day, he had separated from employment.
I would contend, Your Honor, that he hadn't separated from employment because he was on vacation. He was still getting payment.
But he doesn't do that every time he goes on vacation. He doesn't turn in his gun and his badge.
No, certainly not, Your Honor. But in that particular instance where he submits his guns and his badge, he can't use those while he's on vacation in any event, right? He's no longer, right? He's not a police officer during the time in which he's on vacation.
But turning in the badge has a big sense of a significant message here, and that is, I am no longer going to be a police officer in this police department.
That's right, Your Honor. But again, I'll note that that was rescinded the very next day.
Understand.
So assume there was no rescission, and the facts are exactly as laid out in the very first email dated April 14th, and he follows through and retires on May 1st. When does he resign? Because he never used the word resign. So when, under your understanding, has he resigned?
I think he resigns when his employment, when he separates from employment, when he's done, when he's no longer receiving a paycheck, he's no longer a police officer.
May 1st?
What's your support? April 30th would be the effective date, I believe it was, so April 30th.
What's the support for that?
Your Honor, the only support that I have for that is, again, the fact that we have certain rights to uninterrupted employment during the pendency of a retirement application. When the notice has been given. But with respect to the regulations all discuss free employment rights. And that's in the context of, with regard to rescinding a resignation. Even the, again, the one under Cloudwater, the 4A:4-7.10, which does deal with retirees. People who retire may request reconsideration for reemployment. That's not what we're dealing with here. So this is a situation.
Doesn't Cloudwater really envision a situation like this where someone puts in a retirement application and then unleaves, to use a colloquial term?
Pulls it back. The short answer is no, not under these circumstances. In Cloudwater, the employee left employment, the vacancy was filled, and then he came back and asked for that position back. That's not remotely close to what we have here.
Section C, 6.1C, says may be consented to by the appointing authority. Who did you say the appointing authority is?
I believe that's the township.
Okay, so when the town consented to his return for those 11 days, following up with what Justice Solomon said, are you then saying that it consented under subsection C?
Yes, that certainly appeared to be the case.
But it wasn't the township, it was...
Well, the township, again, acquiesced to it. Right? The chief brought it back in. Township's notified. He remains employed until...
What do we know about the notification to the township?
I know that there are emails. I believe those are in the appendices, certainly for the appendices that were submitted.
They email the township.
The township, yeah, the appointing authority.
Say he's back.
Specifically, that Jessica Rotha, right?
Yes, the...
The township's public safety director?
The public safety director, yes.
So is it undisputed in this record that the town consented to his return for 11 days?
I believe the township might dispute that because, again, there wasn't an email stating, okay, great to have you back. They just acknowledged the receipt of it.
Was there any hearing? I'm sorry, I don't think there was a hearing. Was there a hearing where there was any testimony or any findings of fact made about whether such consent was made?
Candidly, Your Honor, I was not party to the proceedings before the commission. Or the LJ. So I don't know. I don't think there was an LJ. So it was just before the commission.
There's nothing in the record on that, is there?
But yeah, I having reviewed the decisions multiple times, I don't see anything in the decision that discusses that particular consent. They just recharacterize. I won't get into that.
An email. I'm sorry, Joseph Palumbo. He's the township or the.
Blanking on his position, but yeah, he's with the township.
The acting municipal administrator, Joseph Palumbo. So is that person employed by the township?
Yes.
So then I thought he sent an email specifically to Hartnett advising that he was aware of Hartnett's April 14th email of the notice of retirement, as well as the cancellation of his retirement application. And so he therefore was saying that he was aware that it had been canceled.
Yeah, they certainly seem to know it. I don't think it's disputed that there was the township was aware that Captain Hartnett had rescinded his retirement notice.
And was back at work.
What day was he back at work?
April 19th.
And that was the day he emailed the police chief saying he canceled his application for retirement.
And I believe that yes, that was the date that he sent the email formalizing it. Right. Prior to that, he had had the conversation on April 15th with Chief Nettleton.
Is there anything in the record to the date that the retirement application was canceled? I didn't see anything regarding an actual cancellation of the retirement application, just a mention of it in the email.
Yeah, I believe I think that was the cancellation. Well, the cancellation
would have to go separately to PERS, right? I mean, that wouldn't just go through the municipality.
I don't know that anything was submitted to PERS.
He provided notice that he would be.
That he would be. It was conditional. It was going to happen in the future after taking some vacation time.
And then at some point, there was supposed to be a meeting with the director.
That's right. And then they elected to cancel that meeting because it wasn't necessary. He'd returned to work. It was fine.
There's a letter from the chief of police, John Nettleton, to Director Raffa on April 19th. Who's the director?
Public safety director, Jessica Raffa.
She's employed by the town.
Right? She's with the township of Pennsauken.
And the police chief is saying he wishes to cancel his retirement application. Was there a response?
Not that I'm aware of.
And yet you're telling us that there was consent by the town?
Because there was no response, he continued to work there for the next until the 26th, at which point there was a response.
Was there express consent by the town?
No, there was not express consent by the township as far as I'm aware.
So are you have to rely then on the idea that if you don't respond to that email, that letter, they've somehow agreed to him continuing to work?
That's certainly part of our argument, Your Honor, yes.
Because they didn't immediately say, no, not so fast.
That's correct.
Although you also have an email from Chief Palumbo where he specifically says that he's aware of the cancellation of your retirement application.
That's yes. Again, I don't believe
Chief Palumbo is employed by the town, not the.
Yeah, I believe he's also a fire chief, just for a little bit of confusion. But he was acting, I believe, as the township administrator as well.
And just to add on to this, the original email on April 14th said, I'm sending this email to formally advise you that I've submitted my retirement to the New Jersey Pension Board. So past tense, I have already submitted. Then it says, however, my last working day is April 14th, 2021, the same day that the email is being sent. I will be on leave until my retirement date. So he sort of separates out, my last working day is April 14th, and then my retirement date is the May 1st date.
That's right, Your Honor. I suppose May 1st is the correct day. I seem to recall it stating effective April 30th for some reason, but in any event.
Why is that not a resignation? But, I am gone. This is my last, today is my last working day. I'm going to retire effective in 2 weeks. I'll be on vacation. Goodbye.
To just briefly recap what I've already stated sort of to that point is that because we're dealing with reemployment rights and there's no interruption in employment, that wouldn't apply here.
So I want to come back to the sequence for just a moment. We have the letter to Director Raffa saying he wishes to cancel his retirement. Then he shows up for work. Mm-hmm. The town does reply a week later on April 26th.
That's
expressly says no.
That's right. That the date that they say we're denying your resignation.
You're asking us to read their silence as approval. Even though the first time they spoke, they said no.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, mostly because, again, we have five interrupted days and longer if we count the time that it was before that email was sent when the initial discussion with Chief Nettleton occurred on April 15th.
So these regulations that give the town the discretion to agree to reinstatement or not agree to reinstatement all go by the wayside if there is a delay before the town responds and says, no, we're not doing that.
I think the delay is relevant. I think that if there is...
What I'm saying, the concept of regulations right. Clearly is that reinstatement in your job, for all, I'm sure, all sorts of practical reasons, is a matter of discretion on the part of the employer.
Certainly.
The public employer.
Yeah, and again, just with regard to reinstatement, because there was no separation from employment, he doesn't need to be reinstated. So those regulations.
I know that's your argument. Yes. The issue is what this was. What is this series? What does this series of events represent? And it seems to me that if this were simply a matter of time going by, then the regulations that really do govern here, which are the CSC regulations, should say if the town does not respond in 5 days, it'll be considered to be an acceptance of the request to rescind the resignation prior to its effective date.
No, Your Honor, I would just contend that the regulations, because they're not necessarily complete, encompass every possible permutation of every possible scenario, don't necessarily preclude the a reasonable application of those regulations. In a situation where the township had perfect knowledge that this guy was back at least as of April 19th, if not before then.
And I want to just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to clarify that point, because I think this is important. You keep saying that there was no interruption and that April 19th is a critical date. The 15th, if I'm not mistaken, when the email was sent on the 14th, it was closing out the week leading up to a weekend.
That's right.
So we've got the email on the 14th. The 15th, he comes in to drop off the service weapon and the badge. You've got 16, 17, 18. 19 is the Monday. He doesn't come in on the Monday. The email sent on the Monday. He also stays out the 20th and the 21st. And returns to work only on the 22nd of April. So he's been out since the 14th.
I believe he returned to work on the 19th.
I mean, the record suggests that he also took vacation on the 20th and the 21st.
But he did work on the 19th, right?
I see that he was sending an email on the 19th, but not that he was working.
Yeah, my understanding of the record is that he had gone back to work on the 19th after and. Incidentally, the critical date that I was attempting to highlight previously, at least, was April 15th, when he comes in with the badge and the gun, et cetera, and then immediately rescinds it.
Right? But he doesn't work that day.
He doesn't work that way. He takes vacation.
And then comes back on the 19th, takes off again on the 20th and 21st. So there's a lot of back and forth where he's in and not in, I'm sure, creating a little bit of chaos for the staff and the chief and everyone else in the department while the administration is making a decision. And they ultimately send the email on the 26th, about 3 days after he finally begins to come in consistently.
Yeah, I can't speak as to the effect that the vacation had within the department. I will say that when on the 15th, when Captain Hartnett rescinded his retirement application to the chief expressed relief. Because again, we're dealing with a captain here with...
Is the police department the appointing authority?
No, they're not the appointing authority. That's not the position I was attempting to stake out.
And they don't have the authority under the regulations to make a determination.
The only point that I was making there, Your Honor, is that the decision by the township, the appointing authority in this particular case, didn't just harm Captain Hartnett, who was deprived of his contractual medical rights and a pretty significant portion of his pension. It also harmed the department that was in need of its only captain who had been there for 23 and a half years.
Understood. But what we're trying to get at here is what happened. Mm-hmm. Understanding there's going to be harm to somebody, no matter how the case turns out, obviously.
And fair enough, Your Honor. Again, what happened is that the township was aware that he submitted a notice of retirement on April 14th. He rescinded it on April 15th. He sends official notice on April 19th and goes back to work on April 19th, notwithstanding some time in between. And then on the 26th, the township says your resignation can't be rescinded.
So the regulation 6.1C, as we've discussed, mm-hmm. states that the appointing authority may consent to a requested resignation, rescinding of a resignation. And I know your position is that this wasn't a resignation, but if we decide this was a resignation, are you also asking us to decide that an appointing authority has to immediately make the determination of whether to consent to that rescinding of the resignation, or
it's not immediately.
Take a few days to figure out what to do
within a reasonable time frame, for sure.
And as stated by Justice Noriega, the time frame here doesn't seem that unreasonable, and it was.
I don't know that any vacation time on the 21st or the 22nd. Had any effect whatsoever on the appointing authority. It was not the department. They're outside of the department on their decision whatsoever. So any chaos that may have been, any concerns within the police department would not have been part of the decision-making process from the 21st and the 22nd, would not have been part of the process. I don't know that they would have even known that he was on vacation on those days. So we're looking at the April 19th when he returns the work. April 26th, as far as the appointing authority is concerned, he returned April 19th. And the 26th, they say, no, you can't do this.
Other questions, anyone? Anything you'd like to add, counsel?
Nothing further.
Let's go off the record for just a second. Those who are...
Please the court. Let me say first, the appointing authority didn't know that Mr. Hartnett had returned to work. The police chief gave him his badge and gun back. The police chief, who was advocating for him to stay, told him to come back to work. When committee member Rafi responded and gave the appointing authority's position, it was because we learned he had come back to work. And in response to that, we wanted to make it clear that we were not letting him rescind. We were relying on the civil service regulation, and we were not letting him rescind his resignation. The period of time between the initial email and when he came back to work, he was requesting a meeting with Joseph Palumbo, who is the administrator. He wanted to talk about his retirement. He didn't actually say I'm rescinding it. He talked about postponing.
So take us through the series of events over that April 15th to April 22nd period, okay. Or April 26th period, from the perspective of your client.
So from the perspective of the township, they heard about the captain leaving in the dead of night, is how it was conveyed. He cleaned out his office. He turned in his badge and gun. He sent this email saying, my last day is today and I won't be back. And then I'm going to retire. To effectuate his retirement, he had to resign. If he wanted to retire on May 1st, he had to resign by April 30th.
And what does resign mean?
Well, to me, it's giving notice to the employer that you're no longer going to work there anymore. And essentially, when you say, this is my final day, I'm taking accrued vacation time, and I'm not going to be back, and then clean out your office, turn in your badge and gun, that's a resignation.
So that happened on the 15th, what you right. just described. Okay, so then we have the next event is on the 19th?
Yes. I believe that was
an email to the chief about cancellation of the retirement application.
Yes.
But he also comes back to work on the 19th and has his badge and it's gotten, correct?
As far as we know, that's what happened. I can't confirm that because I don't know for certain. The information we got was after the 19th that he had returned to work.
That's not something the township in any way approved or...
No, the township was not aware that he had come back to work. For all intents and purposes, they thought he was taking his leave time and that he was finished. He did reach out about the meeting.
Does the fact that somebody resigns, does that have any impact on their ability to take their leave time, their vacation time, sick time after they've resigned?
Every application is different. I guess, you know, I suppose I could say I'm resigning and I have 6 months of leave banked up and I'd like to take all that leave, and the employer can either decide, well, yes, we're going to allow that, or no, we're not. But in a case like this, where it's 2 weeks' notice, I mean, I think technically he really didn't give us 2 weeks' notice because he said he was leaving work. So we were at that point, we were thinking, okay, we need a captain now. We need to promote somebody. We need to get the office staffed up. So it's not uncommon, but then again, that would be the chief's call too, because he's the department head. And if he approved the vacation, and I believe that's what's referenced in the email, that I've been approved for vacation for the last 2 weeks, that's what we assumed happened. So that's not uncommon.
Does the chief have the authority to consent to the reemployment?
No, he's the chief's not the appointing authority. The chief is a department head. The appointing authority.
Chief, are we referring to? Are we
talking Chief Nettleton. I'll refer to Joseph Palumbo as Joseph Palumbo, so as not to confuse that. But yes, Chief Nettleton does not have that authority.
It seems to me like there is a disputed issue of fact about whether the safety director or the town officials knew he had returned to work and therefore consented to his return. He says, your adversary says, one can reasonably infer from a conduct that consent occurred. You take the opposite position. Before the Civil Service Commission and the Health Division, was this raised? Were there any findings made specifically about whether the town, the appointing authority, consented or did not consent?
To my knowledge, it was not raised. To my knowledge, the argument has always been that this resignation regulation of civil service doesn't apply here because I did a retirement, and that we're, you know, he said retirement. That's the magic word, and essentially that nullifies the regulation. I assume that anybody who has enough years in the pension could resign or could retire and wait till the last day before that retirement becomes effective and then rescind it, because I didn't resign. I just retired.
Here it seemed like you were disputing that you were saying that the township didn't know he had come back to work until April 26th. And that's why they sent the note on April 26th saying, no, you're.
I think we found out before April 26th. We didn't know. We didn't know exactly when he came back to work in that time period.
Because April 19th, he sends an email to Chief Palumbo where he specifically talks about how his decision to cancel his application happened in the past. And he uses the present tense. He says, I'm confident in my decision, meaning to stay and to work, quote, and will continue to work my hardest to improve the department and develop those under me to be able to succeed when I retire in the future. Meaning he's saying, I'm working. That's April 23rd. Using the present tense, I'll continue to work my hardest to improve the department.
But at that time, they were still trying to schedule a meeting. There was this request for a meeting. So at that point, the administration thought they were having a meeting with him.
But this email said that he didn't need a meeting anymore because he had rescinded and he was continuing to work on behalf of the department and he wanted the department to be a success.
They did not know that he had been reinstated by that point.
You're saying that, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, so at this time, the administration, the town, the borough still thinks there's a meeting possibly happening to discuss his retirement. He sends an email on a Friday afternoon, April 23rd, and on Monday, April 26th, he gets the response from the township.
Yes. Yes.
So there's a Saturday and a Sunday in between that email saying, I'm confident and I don't need the meeting anymore. And the very next business day, the borough lets him know that they have decided not to accept his rescinded resignation.
Yes. And that's from a committee person, that an elected official that works part time. So, you know, she doesn't even have regular hours to boot.
So the timing kind of makes some sense. I know there's been a lot of discussion about all the days, but again, he sends that email on the 23rd at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then on Monday, he gets the response from the borough.
Yes, that's correct.
So what is the township relying on in terms of various communications here to call this a resignation that would trigger 4A26.1C or any of these other regulations?
His initial email on the 15th. His initial email on the 15th says, this is my last day of work. I'm not coming back. I'm on approved leave until the 30th. At that time, and then on May 1st, I will be retired.
What is the township's position on whether Chief Nettleton, in undoing this in terms of him getting the badge back, the gun back, back to physically back at work, what's the township's position as to whether Chief Nettleton was authorized to do that?
He was not authorized to do that. The civil service regulations do not make the chief the appointing authority. So he does not have the authority to hire, fire, or retain employees. That solely rests, per the civil service regulations, that solely rests with the appointing authority. And as the regulation for resignation alludes to, it's the appointing authority that has the right to accept a rescission of resignation.
So your view is this case is like Clowder?
Yes.
Similar to Clowder.
Yes, and I think what's kind of gotten lost here, the retirement regulations, the pension regulations, and the civil service regulations are not in conflict here. You can't retire without resigning, and everything, all the facts here point to his resignation, putting in his resignation.
But you can't retire without resigning. But in theory, the resignation could be the day before you retire. So here that would have been April 30th. You're saying he resigned as of April 14th, even though he came to work with his badge and was paid to work all the way through April 30th.
He would have been paid to work all the way through April 30th anyway, because
he was
on vacation. He
was physically working. He was in his office. He had his police gun and badge. On April 20th and 21st, when he was on vacation, it said that he was still working remotely.
I would say that 4A:2-6 would be violated if he did it that way. If he said, I'm leaving on April 30th, because the regulation says that it's supposed to give two weeks notice, 14 days.
But doesn't resignation occur when you separate from your employer? And in this case, there was no separation?
The resignation under civil service rules, the resignation has to come with 2 weeks notice. If it doesn't, then you're not resigning in good standing.
That may be true, but you resign when you separate from service. Whether or not it's in good standing, what the effective date of resignation is, separation from employment. And in this case, it would be April 30th.
Justice, I would say that civil service the civil service regulation on point here doesn't agree with that, because it talks about before the separation from employment.
Before the effective date.
Before the effective
date. Because the 6.1 discusses a request to rescind the resignation prior to its effective date. So resignation seems to refer to the moment you tell your employer, I'm leaving, regardless of when that actually happens or when that date is. The regulation contemplates resignation occurring the moment you told your employer you're no longer going to continue working as of a certain date, but giving the appointing authority the ability to accept or consent to rescinding of that resignation prior to its effective date.
Yes, I agree with that.
So if the effective date is the same date of the resignation, there would be no prior.
Correct.
What would NJAC 17:4-6.3 mean, where it says a member shall have the right to withdraw or cancel an application for retirement at any time before the member's retirement allowance becomes due and payable by sending a written request signed by the member? What does that mean if you can't actually withdraw your retirement and continue to work?
Well, the pension statutes don't apply to your right to work. So yes, you can cancel your application for pension all the way up in 30 days beyond your separation date. You can still rescind it. You don't have to be employed to rescind. You don't have to be employed not to receive your pension. You could defer your pension for a period of time. Once you're vested, you can defer it and take it whenever you want. Go get another job. And in this case, those regulations don't speak to the civil service regulations, which govern your employment.
It has to do with the payment of your benefits.
Correct.
So you can decide not to get your pension benefits paid because, as you explained, for some variety of reasons, but that doesn't mean you have the right to be reemployed by the entity that you told you were no longer going to continue working.
Correct. I would agree with that.
Does the township have any form for resignations?
No. No, and the regulation doesn't even require resignations be in writing. It could just be verbal notice of resignation.
Is the word resignation necessary?
Justice, I don't think that's consistent with the regulation, because otherwise anybody that was eligible to retire would never have to submit their resignation or never would resign. They would just leave
and not come back.
Yes, it would essentially nullify that regulation completely.
So once they left and never come back, then presumably they resign, right?
Well, then they're separated. So, yeah, I guess they're resigned. They're separated from employment at that point.
Just another question about the timeline. Was there a meeting scheduled on April 19th between the borough and?
I don't believe it was on April 19th. I don't recall the date offhand.
I just asked because in Mr. Hartnett's email on Friday, April 23rd, he states, please pass on my appreciation to the mayor and the deputy mayor for making themselves available to me last Monday.
I believe it was scheduled. So my understanding was the meeting was scheduled and then Mr. Hartnett had some kind of conflict and canceled the meeting. And I believe it was some kind of family conflict that he said. And then they were trying to reschedule the meeting until he said, I don't need the meeting anymore.
So it would have been resignation on Wednesday the 14th, rescinding on Thursday the 15th, meeting scheduled for Monday the 19th, then meeting canceled at some point, then he's on vacation on the 22nd, 23rd, email on Friday from Mr. Hartnett, response from the borough on the following Monday.
Yes.
So kind of a week and a half between his first communication that he was going to a week and a half, including weekends, between his first communication that he was going to retire and the decision from the borough not Correct. To accept.
Any other questions? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Claire Christensen?
May I please report? The Civil Service Commission's decision is reasonable and was correctly affirmed by the Appellate Division. Petitioner's sole argument on appeal is that because he was entitled to cancel his retirement application submitted to the Division of Pension and Benefits, he was automatically entitled to rescind his resignation from employment. This is a misreading of the two applicable regulatory schemes. Retirement in the regulatory context refers to two parallel processes, the termination of employment and the entry into a benefits program. The termination of employment, so the ending of an employee-employer relationship, is governed by the Civil Service Commission's regulations. Under that regulation, an employee may provide written or verbal notice 14 days prior to the effective date of their resignation. And after doing so, they may rescind that resignation with the consent of the appointing authority. To be clear, as far as the CSC's rules are concerned, there is no material distinction between a retirement and a resignation. Both things are a voluntary termination of employment, which is all that the Civil Service Commission rule governs. The other aspect of retirement is entry into a benefits program. That is governed under the PFRS's regulations. And under those regulations, a member must submit their application to the Division of Pension and Benefits. And after doing so, before their benefits become due and payable, they may cancel or alter that application. Those regulations have nothing to do with the employer-employee relationship. So putting it together here, on April 14th, the petitioner emailed his employer indicating that he had worked his last day, that he was using his remaining vacation days, and that his effective date of retirement would be May 1st. The next day, he returned his gun, he returned his badge, and cleared out his office. This constitutes credible evidence in the record that he resigned. It was reasonable for the Civil Service Commission to determine that this constituted a resignation. The rest is then just a straightforward application of the Civil Service Commission's rule. Penshawken did not consent to the rescission of that resignation. Therefore, it could not be rescinded.
Sorry, go
ahead. Have you completed your opening statement?
I would just note that.
Go ahead and finish.
Yeah.
No rush.
I would just note that petitioner's argument really just hinges on an application of an inapplicable regulation.
Now you've completed.
I'm happy to answer any questions now.
Whenever somebody submits a retirement application, says, I'm going to retire on this day, is that a resignation?
Okay, so there's a couple things to unpack. Are they just submitting an application to the Division of Pension and Benefits in this scenario?
No, I go to my employer. I go to the Chief Justice.
Okay.
Like, this is a true scenario. I go to the Chief Justice and I say,
this is autobiographical,
affecting such and such a date. That's it. I tell him, I even maybe submit my papers. Is that a resignation?
Yeah. So what matters for the Civil Service Commission's purposes are you're not a classified employee, but if you were and then covered by the regulation.
I'd still be working.
If a covered employee submitted their notice, whether it be verbal or written, to their appointing authority, the employer, whoever has the authority to make that call, that they are retiring or resigning on an effective date, that triggers the regulation.
And there is no distinction between I am retiring and I am resigning.
For the Civil Service Commission, no. And as to your question, Justice Wainwrapper, whatever they say is their effective date is when their resignation becomes effective. They have to give at least 14 days in order to ensure that it's a resignation in good standing. If they don't give 14 days notice, then it's up to the consent of the appointing authority to either accept the shorter notice, or they're at risk of being deemed a resignation not in good standing.
So for argument's sake, if they said on January 1, 2025, my last day is December 31st, 2025. I am retiring effective January 1, 2026. I'm done. For that whole year, they can continue to work. Everything's fine. And the employer could accept that last day as their final day.
Absolutely.
If they rescind within 10 days of that final day, or 20 days, or any time before then, the employer can say, I'm sorry, but we've already made arrangements for after that. We're accepting that as your resignation date.
Yes, Your Honor.
Or the employer can say, that's great. Stay on, because the employer has the discretion to do so.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
So here, when would his date of resignation have been if he said it wasn't effective until May 1st?
So there's two applicable dates. There's the date he provided notice of the resignation, which was April 14th in the email. And then there's the effective date, which would be May 1st, is what he said in the email.
Correct, but you had previously said that one only resigns on the effective date. So that's why I'm asking, because then he would have only resigned on May 1st, correct? And here he tried to withdraw his retirement before he had actually resigned. So that's why it matters when he actually resigned.
Well, yeah. So one's effective date of resignation is the date that they provide. The date they provide notice is they're saying I'm resigning, and then they have to give a date of when they will be resigning.
So if I go to my employer and I'm covered by the regulations and I say I'm resigning on June 15th, and right now it is March 25th, 26th. When have I resigned? On March 25th, when I say that I'm going to resign on June 15th, or on June 15th when I leave work and never come back and say that I resigned.
Yeah. So yeah, you resigned on the date that you provided notice, and then it becomes effective on the date that you provided.
So you're saying the person has already resigned on March 25th, but it just only becomes effective later.
Correct, Your Honor.
Where do we find that in the regs? That the resignation, the person has resigned upon originally providing the notice, even if the date on which they said they would resign has not yet occurred.
Yeah, so that would be in C of 6.1. is where we get that. And this, I believe the chief was referencing this as well. A request to rescind the resignation prior to its effective date. It's contemplated that there's an effective date of the resignation after it's made. So it can be consented to by the appointing authority prior to the effective date.
So in other words, the resignation is valid once given, and in that resignation, there is provided an effective date for it to take hold.
Correct, Your Honor.
When is the effective date? Exactly which date?
In this case?
Yes.
That would be May 1st.
May 1st. Okay, so here's my question about the factual dispute that I see that exists. They say the appointing authority, the town, consented to rescinding the, quote, resignation by not objecting to his return to employment on April 19th to April 26th. The town says they didn't know he had returned whatsoever, that they did not consent. And we certainly don't have any express consent. It's really, we're inferring consent from the facts. Did the commission make any findings about this? How do we resolve that dispute?
Okay, so yeah, there's two responses to that. First, I'll answer your first question about whether the commission decided it. It was not raised before the commission. A sort of constructive consent argument was not raised before the commission, was not raised before the appellate division, and was not raised by petitioner before this court. I believe it was only raised in an amicus brief. That was the first time that argument was ever raised. Barring
the fraternal order of police.
But yeah, correct, Your Honor. Barring that procedural problem with the argument, substantively, it also doesn't matter. He didn't come back to work after the effective date of his resignation. He chose not to use his vacation days for a few of his vacation days before the effective date of his resignation.
Well, I thought he did, because the effective date of the resignation, he told me, was May 1st.
May 1st.
But
He came back prior to that and then was told before the effective date that they were not accepting his rescission.
I see.
So he came back while he was still employed. He was just on vacation for those 2 weeks. He chose not to use some of those vacation days.
So whether it's sort of by accident or not, it falls within the rubric you've laid out, which is the effective date of resignation was April 14th. The date that it was supposed to take effect was on April 30th.
That would be the effective date. The resignation was made.
Was noticed.
Yes, was noticed on the 14th.
So the notice of the resignation was April 14th. The effective date of the resignation was April 30th. And the attempt to rescind happened before the effective date, and the township declined.
Yes, all before the effective date.
And what is the commission's position with respect to Mr. Hartnett's argument that the silence of the township inferred consent?
Again, I think that's also still answered. That's my question for Justice Fischel's question, which was that it was never raised. There was never an argument raised that there was some type of constructive consent before the forum agency. So they didn't necessarily pass on it.
So there were no findings on that.
No findings. But is there a position as to whether I should have asked it more broadly. What is the commission's position as to whether the appointing authority has to say something in order to not be deemed to have consented to the rescission of a retirement or resignation or whatever this was?
So there could be factual outliers, right, of where there's really strong evidence of like a constructive consent. And I don't want to necessarily bind the commission to go one way or the other for that. But generally speaking, though, consent has to be given. I'm sure there could be extreme factual cases where there's, you know, a strong equitable argument for constructive consent. I can't necessarily speak for everything that the commission might do under different facts, but
But on these facts, your position is that...
Well, on these facts, again, it wasn't raised. And also, he never came back to work after the effective date of his resignation. They never consented to him coming back because he was still working. He was still employed when he came back. He was just chose not to use vacation days.
I think one thing about the facts here is that we have the police chief who apparently was assisting Mr. Hartnett, was his ally, and wanted him back. And we have the town that is getting a couple of communications for a while about a meeting, doesn't happen, and then finally gets the communication that essentially lays it all out on the line, and then within 3 days says no. So what is the commission's position on whether during the interim period before the town said no to the request, the police chief's conduct would somehow bind the town?
It's, again, so that, I mean, that comes down to who has the authority. It's the appointing authority that has the ultimate authority to consent. And that is directly in the regulation. And consent, it has to be consented to by the appointing authority. Here, Council for Pennsauken has made clear that Chief Nettleton is not the appointing authority. So the regulation couldn't even be met under just Chief Nettleton consenting.
Other questions? Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Did you want rebuttal, or are you?
I could just make 2 points in rebuttal, I'm sure.
Very briefly.
Thank you.
Thank you. The first point I want to make is the Civil Service Commission, its own regulations, the county municipal personnel system, they all provide that there's a distinction between resignations and retirements. I just want to make that point. It's not a distinction without a difference. They're not interchangeable terms. Those are very different terms, different styles of separation from employment. In fact, the CAMPS manual, that's the county municipal personnel system, provides that an employee must fill out a form confirming their resignation, which wasn't done here. That's not a regulation, but that's just a data point. The important takeaway, again, is that the commission does treat the classifications very differently. I want to make a point about constructive consent as well. On April 19th, emailed an acceptance of Captain Hartman's rescission of his retirement. As it was framed.
Do you disagree with counsel for the commission's statement that was an issue not raised before?
I do. Again, I did not argue it for the commission, but my understanding is that was an issue that was raised in argument. I wasn't present for it, so I can't speak from personal knowledge.
Thank you.
Of course.
I take the matter under advisement.